Welcome to episode 32 of the Mile 62 podcast. I'm your host, Richard Elkins, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hey, today we have some race updates, and I'm also going to talk about one feature on the Garmin watch that most people probably don't know about. Some exciting news. Heard today that Brazos Bend 100 in Needleville, Texas. This race is held every December. It's often a U.S. Trail Championship race, and the race director Rob Goen has announced that Brazos Bend 100 is now a Western States qualifier, and that starts this year. So, as you know, Western States was canceled this year, so everyone that got into the race this year will get into the race next year in 2021. So the race, Brazos Bend, the qualifier earned this year will be for 2022. So that's exciting news, because currently we only have one other qualifier in Texas, and that's Bandero 100K in January. So the nice thing is you could actually get a qualifier in December and then race in January in the 100K and get one for 2023. So it's pretty exciting to have another qualifier. And this will also bring more people to Texas, because people like to race in Texas. People in Texas are very friendly, and people really look forward to the Bandera 100 and Rocky Raccoon. Rocky Raccoon is also a qualifier, so just correct myself. So we'll have a qualifier in January, February, and December. So three qualifiers in Texas. So also Tejas Trails, which runs Bandera and Rocky Raccoon, announced a few days ago they are now adding a new race in October 9th through 11th. It's called the Trailway. So they keep beefing up their schedule. They have a lot of races planned in the fall in comparison to trail racing over Texas. So the Trailway will be a new race. It'll have everything from a trail marathon down to a 5K. And this is going to be in Somerville, Texas. So where is Somerville, Texas? This is near Brenham. So it's kind of in between Austin and Houston. But that's exciting news. You know, it's a new race to try out. It's in a state park that is trying to kind of make a name for themselves and earn some money to update some things in the park. So they have partnered with Tejas Trails to do that. Other news, my training's been going pretty good. I've been doing a lot of biking and running, but I'm now starting to focus. I'm starting a new training block. I really started today, but I plan all of September to double my running mileage. So I'm trying to ramp up for Cactus Rose, 150 miler, which is in the third week of October. So I'm going to do less rucking and less biking and really focus on building up my mileage. I'd like to get up in the 60-70 mile range every week during September, and then maybe the first and second week of October as well. So the next 6 weeks, I'm really going to focus on running. It's extremely hot. I mean, it's over 100 degrees most of the day, but I'm used to growing up here. So typically we'll try to run in the morning, right after 7, and then also try to run short run in the evening. But that's my plan, and then do a long run on the weekend. Some other updates. If you remember about six months ago, this is kind of an equipment update. 6 months ago, I did a long technical review on the Terra Pro headphones. I really like them. They fit well, and they're advertised as an ultra runner's headphones. Well, after 6 months, I'm starting to see some quality issues with the Terra Pro. They still fit really well, but some of the buttons on the adjustment panel, like when you're switching between songs, the down signal is not working. And also I'm having some problems with charging. The charge contacts are bare copper. And I know from my work that copper tends to oxidize, and I think the sweat and stuff has oxidized them. I have to clean them almost every time I charge. So, and I've noticed that when the price has really come down on the Terra Pro. I'm not sure if it's because of COVID or they plan to update the equipment with a better version. But when I bought the headphones, it was about $160. And now they're selling for $99. Good headphones, but I'm a little bit concerned about the quality because after 6 months, I'm starting to have some issues. However, it's lasted longer than many of my other headphones. Like I used to use a lot of the waterproof Beats headphones, which are designed for runners, and I've used the JBL. I've used them all. But just when in Texas weather, you sweat a lot, and sweat is a very corrosive, salty liquid, and I don't know. I've had problems with headphones, but unfortunately, the Terra Pro quality doesn't seem to be very good. Also, on the Ultra Olympus 4, I've come to the conclusion I like the tongue in the shoe better than I did on the 3. I like the 3.5 better than I like the 4.0. Other than that, I think the shoe is a better shoe, but they try to improve the tongue so it won't slip, but it's still slipping, and I think actually the 3.5 worked better. Another thing I want to talk about today, let's talk about our Garmin watches. They got so many features. I mean, if you print out the instruction manual for a Phoenix level, a Garmin watch, it's about 40 pages long, and it's really amazing what they all do. But, if you're probably familiar with pulse oximeter, because when COVID started, the big thing was to know what your oxygen level is. And, if you try to buy a pulse oximeter during the last 6 months, you won't find them. You won't find them on the internet. I even looked many months ago before I knew my watch did this function. Recent news, Courtney DeWalter dropped out of her attempt on the Colorado Trail when her oxygen level reading got too low. So it is very important to know your oxygen level, and that's what a pulse oximeter does. And in the COVID situation, when people's oxygen level got low, that meant that they were probably sick. And so on the Phoenix device, the pulse oximeter is to gauge the saturation of the oxygen in your blood. And this is real important because it helps you in acclimating to high altitude to know what your situation is. And the feature on the... The way you activate the feature on the Garmin watch, there's a widget. And what you do is you go into general mode and you push up or down and you find the pulse oximeter widget, and then you hit activate your play button, the same one you use to activate runs and bikes, all the other widgets. And then you remain motionless for 30 seconds. Because the GPS has to grab a signal before it works, so the oxygen meter it's being calibrated with the altitude, so this is very important. And then when it does give a reading, it's going to give you a reading in percentages. So the percentage scale will be on the top. And you want to have a percentage between 95 and 100. That's normal. If the percentage is below 95, a few points, it's concerning. Maybe you need to rest. But if it's lower than that, you need to maybe get some more further testing done. Because between 95 and 100 is normal. So that's real important. And then it's got a couple different modes. So you can set it to all-day acclimation mode, where it's checking your oxygen reading every hour. Or you can put it on manual acclimation mode, where you manually check your oxygen level when you want to do it. That's what I do, because if you put it on all-day acclimation mode, it also drains the battery faster. Now, of course, on the Phoenix, the batteries last 40-plus hours on GPS mode, so it's not going to make much of a difference if you put it on all-day mode. But if you're in a long race, like a 100 miler or longer, it's probably wise to turn that off. And because I typically do that, I will turn off my Bluetooth, and I will turn off, sometimes even turn off my heart rate monitor. If I'm going to be in a multi-day race and I don't want to charge my watch, you want to turn off functions you don't need, especially heart rate monitor and the GPS mode. It's probably better to put it on ultra track. Same thing with oxygen meter. During racing, you probably want to turn it off. It's just a good training tool. To another news, the Tour de France started today, Saturday. You know, that's pretty exciting. I also love cycling and very active in cycling, mostly for cross training. But I follow it, and it's just an incredible race. These guys are, you know, some of the toughest athletes in any sport. So I'm excited that it started. So it started today. Take a look. Other trail news, kind of a snake subject. Excuse me. But be careful out on the trails. The last 2 weeks of August and the first 2 weeks of September are usually when copperhead snakes have babies. So copperhead snakes, when they're a baby, they look like rat snakes. So you got to be careful. If you look at their head, they look like a copperhead. But the rest of the body kind of looks like a rat snake with a yellow stripe, sometimes a red stripe. So it's easy to think there may be a gardener snake or a rat snake, but you got to be very careful. But it's just 4 weeks during the year that copperheads usually have babies, and that's the last 2 weeks of August and the first 2 weeks of September. So be careful out on the trails. That's it for today. I plan to have a few new podcasts next week, so stay tuned. Enjoy your run. And if you have feedback for me, please send me an email at runnerrwe@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. It's runnerrwe. Same thing for Strava. You can find me on Strava. Take care. Have a good run.